Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We are in our Bible study in the book of Hebrews. This is, well, I won't tell you how many sermons it's been, but we've been in it a while. It's been good studying in the book of Hebrews. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Now, many here today, and many watching online, are believers, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, church family, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus Christ is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Have you ever felt led to move? To obey God? Well, we're in the pictures of faith. It's like we're going through an art gallery and we're looking at portraits of people that have walked by faith. We have been challenged in the book of Hebrews to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, we're going to get to that in that actual phrase, that actual verse of Scripture in chapter 12. But all throughout the beginning chapters of Hebrews, we have been challenged, don't go back to your old way of life. You have given your life to Jesus Christ. Hold on. Jesus Christ is the anchor of your soul, and he keeps his promises. And so the Lord is giving us in chapter 11 some portraits of folks that have lived by faith. We learned at the beginning of this chapter that faith is foundational. It says it's the substance of things hoped for. Faith is reliable. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is observable. And we see in verse 2 of chapter 11, for by it, talking about faith, the elders, those that have gone before us, obtained a good testimony. So we could observe it. Faith is observable in people's lives. And that's why we're studying this in the book of Hebrews. We learned about Abel. Abel gave an excellent, if you look at verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. It was, the word excellent means an appropriate sacrifice. So we learned that Abel teaches us about how living by faith changes our worship. And then Enoch, his testimony was that he pleased God. And then Noah, he had never seen rain, and yet the Lord said, I want you to build an ark because it's going to flood the earth. He didn't know what the Lord was even talking about, and yet he was obedient. So the way he lived was different. Last week, we talked about Sarah, who at one point was really a doubter. Do you know that if you've ever doubted having faith in the Lord and following the Lord, do you know you're in good company? Most of those in the Scripture at one point in their life, they had doubts about it. We know about doubting Thomas. Well, Sarah was told she was going to give birth. At one point, she laughed. She just laughed out loud, saying, this is ridiculous. There's no way in the world this is going to happen. And we talked about Sarah last week. But today, we're talking about Abraham. Abraham was living for another world. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture beginning in verse 8. So I'm going to read from my copy of God's Word. If you'll follow along in your copy, we're going to read verses 8 through 16 of Hebrews 11. And we'll read a couple of verses we talked about last week with Sarah, but we want to get the big picture here about Abraham. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Four things that are characteristics of Abraham in this passage of Scripture that I want to draw your attention to. Abraham, the message is Abraham, he was living for another world. And ladies and gentlemen, that is really the Christian life. We are to be living for another world. We're living for heaven. The Bible says we're not citizens here, we're citizens of another world. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we've got to get it in our minds that heaven is really our home. And therefore, when the Lord calls us, as he did Abraham, to go, to do something out of the ordinary, to leave our comfort zone, then we're willing to do that because we're living for another world. So here are four words that I want you to think about as we think about Abraham. Here's the first one. It's the word available. Abraham was available. It says in verse 8, it says, and by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called. And the phrase there really means he obeyed when he was being called. We talked about this briefly last week. Abraham obeyed the Lord immediately. Immediate obedience. Even as he was being called, Abraham believed God and Abraham obeyed that call. He was available. Are you available? Am I available? If the Lord said, I want you to go over here and do this, would you be willing to do it? If the Lord said, I want you to go witness to that person across the street, would you be willing to do it? I want you to share Jesus Christ with that person at work, would you be willing to do it? Are you and I, are we available to God? Abraham's testimony was he lived for another world. And because of that, when you live that way, then you are available to the Lord. John 14:21 says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Obedience is really the test of availability. Are we obedient? You know, obedience is, the Bible says, is better than sacrifice. Sometimes we think, you know, the real test of my obedience to the Lord, or my love for the Lord, the real test is how much am I willing to sacrifice in order? How much am I willing to give? Give till it hurts. Now, giving is an important part of the Christian life. And yet, you know that Saul in the Old Testament, Saul was given a command and he did not obey it. He was to totally eliminate an enemy and he did not do that. He kept back the spoils. He allowed the spoils to be kept back. And the prophet went to him, Samuel, and said this to him, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? This is in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and following. He says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Samuel was saying to Saul, you did not obey. You were not available to obey the Lord. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. It cost Saul his kingship because he was not available. And ladies and gentlemen, it's no less of a commitment of ours as a believer. You are a believer in Jesus Christ, right? You are a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you know that you're living? We all need to be reminded of this, and I'm looking in the mirror today at myself as I'm preaching. You know, I'm always preaching two sermons. I'm preaching one to you, and I'm preaching one to me. And I tend to be a little easier on me than I am on you, but no, that's not true. That's not true. But I have to look in the mirror myself. The truth of the matter is, are we available? The Bible says that Abraham obeyed in verse 8. He obeyed when he was called, and the idea is it was a continuous action. He obeyed as he was being called. He didn't have to say, hey, give me, Lord, give me 2 months to think about this. He knew the Lord had called him, and as he was being called, he obeyed the Lord. So the first thing that we think about when someone is living for another world, like Abraham, is number one, they are available. Here's number two, they're focused. They're focused. In verse 9, it says, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign land, a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for, he lived as in a foreign country. He was focused on the future. You know, the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? It's one who represents a leader in another world, and he represents them. He doesn't say his own ambitions, but he gives the ambitions of the leader of whom he represents. And that's what we are. We are ambassadors of Christ. They were dwelling in tents. Tents are a pain. Tents are a sign of being temporary. Abraham moved about in that land that God sent him to in tents. It was a sign of him being in temporary lodging. When I think about focus, I think about this idea that he was unencumbered. You know, in the book of 2 Timothy, it talks about the Christian life as being like a life of a soldier. As a matter of fact, it says it this way, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Some two guys are in a foxhole and they're in the middle of a battle, and their commanding soldier says, hey, I want you guys to get ready. We're going to make a move here in a second. And the guy says, hey, hold on just a second. I'm watching a little TV here. Uh-uh, that's not going to happen. Why? Because a good soldier is not encumbered with other things. What is he doing? He's focused. He's focused on exactly what that leader wants him to do. Abraham was focused on another city. He was focused on a city whose foundation and builder was God. And he was focused on being all that the Lord wanted him to be. Now, the other picture in 2 Timothy is that of an athlete. An athlete is, it says it, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. He is focused as an athlete on becoming better and competing in a way that will bring victory. Sometimes there are those that excel in different things. It doesn't always have to be athletics. It can be academics. It can be like mathematics. People pay a price. That's what they do. They say, look, there's some things I can't do. Why? Because I'm focused. In the same way, Abraham was focused. He was not held by this temporary world. I tell you what, he lived in a tent. Tents. I remember I had heard that all families that get along well go camping. So we had five kids. and they were teenagers on down to about 4 or 5 years old. Kel, I don't remember when we went, if Jerry was just a little guy. We have a picture. I have a picture of us in front of the Biltmore house when I think Jerry was about that big, and we were all smiling in the picture, but nobody knows we had just had a big knockdown drag out. I mean, it was rough. I mean, and we were staying in a tent, and I had gone to Sam's and bought the biggest tent money can buy because I had 7 of us. Kelly bought a vacuum cleaner with us. I mean, man, we had extension cords. We were running to the place where you could go shower. They had power in there, man. And we were back. Kelly wanted that thing clean. And I tell you what, we thought, we left there and we thought, well, now I know why we have a house. Tents are no fun. We went to the beach recently, a couple years back now, and we went to, on this particular time, we'd gone and got one of those shade tents. You know, we have some of them around here we use. And so, man, I was so proud of that thing. I got that thing on sale. And I got that thing, and it had little teeny thin pegs. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And that little foot on that thing's got a little piece of metal comes out. It's got a little hole in it. You're supposed to put that peg in there, and that thing goes over the side of it. Well, I set that thing up. We were on the beach, and I drove those pegs in there, got my chair, sat down. Gust of wind came. Have you ever been in a situation that was like slow motion? That's the way I felt. I didn't even move. Everybody else was running. I just sat there. It was like slow motion, just tumble, tumble, tumble. That thing ended up in about 5 feet of surf. It was all bent up. I said, load that thing up. Maybe they'll take it back. No, not really. I didn't. But tents... Tents are a hassle, but sometimes when you're focused, if you've got heaven as your home and you're a citizen of another world, then you're able to have focus in that way, and that's what Abraham did. He was focused. He was unencumbered. He was like an athlete that didn't let anything get in the way of him being obedient, of that athlete doing what he was supposed to do to win and to do a good job. Same as a soldier, and that's the way Abraham was. He was available, first of all, to obey. Second thing, he was focused, being unencumbered. Here's the third thing, he had vision. He had vision. He was willing to wait for God's promise. In verse 10, the Bible says this, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Look at verse 12. "Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith." Now, he's referring not only to Abraham, but all the way back to Abel, all the way back to Noah, all the way back to Enoch, all the way back to Sarah. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." You mean they haven't? You mean that sometimes in the Christian life, we don't get all of what the benefits of salvation are immediately? Oh yeah, that's true. You know, salvation, we have been saved. Positionally, we have been saved. Before the Lord Jesus, we are, before the Father, we are righteous before God. We are being saved right now. God is changing us in our lifestyle. We are being saved. That's called sanctification. And then glorification is a part of salvation that comes down the road. We have not received every facet of salvation. And so the scripture says in verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Matter of fact, in the old King James Bible, look at your verse 10. It says, "For he waited for the city." You know, the word in that older version says looked. It's the idea of looking. It's an idea of vision. Because Abraham had a vision from what God had spoken to him and what God was going to do through his life, that in him all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, Because he had that vision, it changed the way he lived. You know, when we wait on the Lord, sometimes we don't like to wait, do we? But this is a quality of those who live for another world. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says this, "Then they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40, 31, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. The word wait there in the Old Testament is the word that means to bind together by twisting. It's almost a picture of weaving. And the idea is that when you weave your life together with God, you're willing to wait. Your life is woven together with God, and you're willing to wait. He was living for another world. And truthfully, when you live that way, all the trappings the world has to offer you, they kind of drift away. We used to have a hymn we used to sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face." And then this phrase, "And the things of this earth will grow strangely," what? Dim. In the light of his glory and grace. The Lord says, "Move." You say, "Well, but I've got so much I'm attached to." The Lord says, "Move." You say, I don't know. Others are not moving like that. Others are not doing that. The truth is, though, whenever your eyes have vision of what God is doing, all of a sudden you realize the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. He waited, and his descendants waited. And in verse 13, it says this, "These all died in faith." You mean they, when they died, they had that kind of faith? Oh, yeah. When they died, they had that kind of faith. They had not realized all the promises, even at death. They went all the way to the end in faith. Will you go to the end? Sometimes people think the Christian life is like a 100-yard dash. If Robert and I got in a race and we were going to do a 5K, when they hit the gun, I promise you I'm going to blast out. You know why? Because I want somebody to take my picture. I'm in the lead. But it won't last long. I'll be sucking wind by the end of that 5K. Robert will be in cardiac arrest. No, I'm kidding, not really. But the point is, the Christian life is not a sprint, folks. And so often, you give your life to Christ and you blast out of the gate and you say, "Oh man, isn't the Lord good?" I don't know how many times I've seen people, they've given their life to Christ, man. We celebrate that. They come, and then you can't find them. I wonder about true conversion when that happens. But these right here that are our examples, our portraits, we're walking through a gallery, and we look up there, we see Abel, we see Enoch, we see Noah. These all, Abraham, Sarah, these all died in faith. In other words, they lasted till the end. Will you last till the end? Is your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ of that rib rock kind of a commitment that you are going to last till the end? The Bible says they all died in faith. They went all the way to the end. Lord, let us finish well. In 1945, there were three young preachers that were taking the world by storm. Bron Clifford, Chuck Templeton, and Billy Graham. You can read about this in Steve Farrar's book entitled Finishing Well, Finishing Strong. And these were the great preachers. Templeton, he preached with Billy Graham at Youth for Christ meetings. And the National Association of Evangelicals said he was the best preacher in 1945. God was using him so powerfully. Bron Clifford was a preacher that went to Baylor University. Brian Harris, our member here, he is a graduate of Baylor. We may have some other Baylor graduates here, but Brian is a graduate of Baylor. When Bron Clifford went to Baylor University and he preached, they turned off the bells that sent students to class because for 2.5 hours he held the student body spellbound because of his amazing ability to preach. And they said, no one can capture young people like Bron Clifford. But do you know that just 5 years later, Templeton had left the ministry to pursue a career as a radio and television commentator and a newspaper columnist? Templeton had decided he was no longer a believer in Christ. And by the way, don't want to make a huge deal out of this, but it seems like that in our day there are those from time to time that they're doing what they call deconstructing. They're deconstructing their faith. They went out of the gate strong, but all of a sudden a little pressure comes, a little difficulty comes, and they're no longer saying that they are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened to Templeton. He decided he was no longer a believer in Christ in just 5 years after being such a great preacher. What about Clifford? By 1954, Clifford had lost his family, his ministry, his health, and then his life. Alcohol and financial irresponsibility had done him in. He wound up leaving his wife, and they had two special needs children, and he walked out on them. At just 35 years of age, this once great preacher died from cirrhosis of the liver in a rundown motel on the edge of Amarillo, Texas. His last job was selling used cars in northern Texas. Some pastors took up a collection to buy him a casket that his body could be shipped back to East for a decent burial in a cemetery for the poor. Are we going to finish well? If you live for another world, you can have vision that what you're doing now may be tough, what you're having to walk through may be difficult, but guess what? You're not home yet. You're living for another world. And God gives you the grace that enables you to have faith, even as it says in verse 13, these all died in faith. So, some qualities of Abraham, someone who was living for another world. He was available. He was focused, unencumbered by the cares of this world. He had vision. He was willing to wait. They that wait upon the Lord. You say, Lord, I'll follow you if you give me the answer to that promise right now. Oh, no. As a matter of fact, some of the promises, the Bible says these that are portraits of faith, they didn't even receive it before death. It says, but they died in faith. But here's the last word, confident. Because Abraham had the affirmation of God. If you look at verse 16, it says, well, let me read verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. He was so had such vision that even his old country was even a temptation to him. Verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. And then it says this, can you imagine that God would say this about you? That God could say this about me? It says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God is not ashamed to be called their God. The word ashamed there is a word that means disfigurement. In other words, It's like if the Lord said, if somebody said to the Lord, boy, that Calvin Carr, that's your follower. And if the Lord went, that's embarrassment. I hope that's not the case. But it says with Abraham, the Lord was not ashamed. There was no disfigurement in his countenance when they said, oh, Abraham's one of your followers. The Bible says in verse 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. There's no embarrassment. There's no disfigurement in his countenance. For he has prepared a city for them. And so we see that the Lord was pleased, and Abraham not only was available and focused and had vision, but he was confident because he knew that in his conscience it was clear that he was surrendered to the Lord's will, and the Lord validated that by saying, I'm not ashamed to be called your God. You know, Stephen in Acts chapter 7 saw the Lord standing when he was stoned, and the Bible says Stephen looked up to heaven and said the Lord saw the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. You see, the truth of the matter is, folks, is we're not home yet. Amen? We're not home yet. We're living for another world. Like Abraham. Abraham was living for another world, and so we are to have that availability. We are to be that focus. We are to have that vision of our life, and we are to enjoy that confidence, knowing that God is pleased and is not ashamed to be called our God. They say that Henry C. Morrison was a great missionary in Africa. Spent 40 years. I had the privilege one time of going and visiting with some of our International Mission Board missionaries in Africa, and there was a man there that received a recognition for 35 years in Africa serving the Lord in our Southern Baptist effort there, and very, very faithful. His name was Hubbard, it was his last name. The Jerry Hubbard was his name, and they recognized him, and the people just wept when they thought about his commitment. Well, Henry Morrison had been 40 years in Africa, and he came home on a ship. They had retired, and they came home on a ship, and when he got to New York Harbor, he wondered, he told his wife, he said, I wonder if anybody's going to be there to greet us. He said, you know, we've been 40 years overseas, and I wonder if anybody's going to be there to see us. Well, he went outside of his little room, and man, they had streamers, they had bands were playing, they had all of this activity welcoming the ship. He did not realize that Teddy Roosevelt had been on an African hunting trip, and everyone was there to greet the president. So they waited, and the president went, and then everybody left. And Morrison, dejected, went down the ramp off of that ship into New York with no one to greet him. He was so depressed, he was back with his wife at the little motel. And he said, honey, I just don't get it. For 40 years we poured our lives into ministry and service, and yet we come back to America and not a single soul comes to welcome us home. His wife came and sat down next to her husband. She put her hand on his shoulder and comforted him with words that he would never forget. She said, Henry, you've forgotten something. You're not home yet. You may be faithful and nobody notice it. Now, I pray that in our body, in our family of North Central here, that we honor and we would see the things that you're doing for the Lord. We pray for one another. We encourage one another. We're to do that, aren't we? But can I tell you something? There's going to be things you're going to do and nobody's going to ever notice it. But you're not home yet. You're not home yet. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.